Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your hosts Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept In His Sign alive and well for over 40 years now, allows Father and I to be here on each and every Wednesday. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. I hope we're staying cool out there. It looks like we may get a little break starting either late tonight or early tomorrow, and finally get out of the 90s for at least a little while. Should be much cooler, I think, over the weekend. But hope you're staying cool today, and if you're sitting in the air conditioning, sit back and relax for whatever part of the next 2 hours you can. And spend it with Father and I in this hour, and then Peter DePalma, my good friend, will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the living in the divine will. Reminder, you can subscribe to my Substack at notsaintsyet.substack.com. I send out highlights and links to the recordings usually by early Thursday morning. And all the shows are available usually by the end of the day on Thursday at inhissign.com. If you click on content and on podcasts, you can either listen to shows you missed or re-listen to a show that perhaps you liked. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. They have 8:30 daily mass, and then the shrine's open until about 4 o'clock. Again, that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've got our Matt Talbot film. We're working on dates and times now where it'll be shown locally, working with the Highway Theater in Jenkintown, the Ambler Theater, and looking for other venues where we can show the film. And so hopefully by the middle of July and August, that'll be available, and we'll let you know. A couple of retreats coming up that you might be interested in. My men's weekend is the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. We're going to be at Malvern August 15th to the 17th. Our retreat director this year is Friday radio host Monsignor McHenry. We're looking forward to spending the weekend with him. There's a Matt Talbot Women's Weekend coming up September 19th to the 21st, also at Malvern. And then coming up just a week from now will be the annual Divine Will Retreat. That, this year it's going to be July 4th to the 6th, and there's a Mass at 3 o'clock on July 4th. It's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be the first, but it may be, the first Mass with our new altar that was dedicated over the weekend. That Mass is going to be at 3 o'clock on the 4th of July, and it's to kick off a year-long celebration of the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country. So all are invited for the 3 o'clock Mass, but that Divine Will Retreat will start soon after and go through Sunday the 6th. Those three retreats and all others, or most others, you can register for at malvernretreat.com. Click on Find a Retreat. Scroll down to the dates you're looking for, and go ahead and register online. Without any further ado, how about if we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
And to you. Ken, I'd just like to pray that golden Hail Mary. As you know, we had so many deaths this week here in our community, and those who come to us in Cavex and all. And I'm particularly thinking about Harry Pyle, whose graduation ceremony will be on Friday at Nativity BVM. And also Michael Yudeski, who's a member of our Calyx Society. Colleen Kishner, whose funeral was yesterday, her graduation ceremony. And the young boy, Mason Robert Cordero, only 17 years old from diabetes. And also my cousin, Sue T, whose graduation ceremony will be here in our chapel on Monday. So that golden Hail Mary for all of them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and you have to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. I especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And it's God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with us, we would love to have you call. So we'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the 12th week of Ordinary Time, and a few things going on in the liturgical calendar this week. On Sunday the 22nd, we celebrated Corpus Christi, the feast of Jesus' body and blood. But that knocked out, and would have got knocked out anyway because it was a Sunday, but a number of saints, including St. Paulinus of Nola, who was a bishop, and then Saints John Fisher, who was a bishop, and Thomas More, a martyr. So they were, John Fisher and Thomas More, both martyrs. On Tuesday, the 24th, we celebrated the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Friday, the 27th, we'll have the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that's going to bump out St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is a bishop and doctor of the church. And then on Saturday, the 28th, we have two options. We have the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then St. Irenaeus, bishop, martyr, and doctor of the church. So we're going to start off with John the Baptist, and we're going to do the reading from Mass yesterday, and it is not going to be the gospel, but it's actually going to be the first reading from the Vigil Mass for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. So it's taken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. In the days of King Josiah, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you." "Ah, Lord God," I said, "I know not how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord answered me, "Say not, 'I am too young.' To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Have no fear before them, because I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord extended his hand and touched my mouth, saying, "See, I place my words in your mouth. This day I set you over nations and over kingdoms, to root up and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. And it's the couple of the opening lines here in Jeremiah that Father was keen on. And Father, I remember back in the probably around the year 2000, late 90s, I had this little Toyota station wagon that I drove for a while, and then I think it was actually like an 84 Corolla wagon. I drove it, and then each of my kids, it was their first car. And it had the bumper sticker on the back with that line, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And so I was well aware of Jeremiah and, of course, how it applies here. Not just to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, obviously a prophet and the Lord letting Jeremiah know that he was going to put him to work, but also kind of a precursor to St. John the Baptist and forming John in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and of course, you know, the Blessed Mother when she makes the trek to visit her, and St. John leaps in her womb. And so as you've mentioned a few times, both in conversation and at Mass last night, about the pro-life implications and how, you know, we know today, not just because it's in the Bible, but because, you know, doctors and scientists have told us that, you know, life begins at conception, and that it's not long after that that, you know, there's no doubt as to what that clump of cells is that's residing in the womb of a mother. So, you know, and just that, and talking about John the Baptist, it's funny. I think every year when this comes up, I go right to The Chosen and Crazy John. You know, in the first episode, or within the first couple episodes, I guess, when Peter, you know, starts referring to John the Baptist as Crazy John, and, you know, he's a little creepy. Off the wall, or Creepy John, not Crazy, Creepy yeah. John. Yeah, because he's wearing the camel hair, and he's eating locusts and living in the desert, and the portrayal of him in the Chosen is just awesome. You know, how wonderful he was to, you know, to have formed his own disciples and formed them in what he knew and believed. And then, of course, when Jesus comes along and it's time for him to start his public ministry, that, you know, John not only, you know, passed the buck, if you will, and let folks know that Jesus was the Messiah, but, you know, sent his some of his disciples to be some of the early disciples of Jesus, including Andrew, I believe. So,
You know, I really enjoyed the Chosen series, but I wish I would have been consulted, because I saw two theological blunders in it, Ken. Mm. And one was when John is talking to Jesus there along the river banks, and he says, both of us were conceived in the womb. And that's not true. John was sanctified in the womb after conception, because it was at that point where Mary comes and the baby leaps in the womb, and there he's sanctified, not at conception. So that was a blunder. And the other one, or Catholic theology anyway, was when they're sitting around when Jesus hears the right before he heals the paralytic coming through the top of the roof, and they're asking him about his father. He said, "Oh, my father's in heaven." So that was another blunder, because no one gets to heaven because Jesus is the first one to get to heaven and open up the gates, and we all follow him. Mm. But again, the Chosen, it was really powerful.
Yeah.
I just love the way Jonathan Rheimy played Jesus, so human and so divine. But yeah, you know, what you were saying, life begins at conception. And I was listening to the reading, you know, he knew Jeremiah before he created him. He knew Blessed Mary before, you know, she took flesh. He knew John the Baptist and what they would do. They had this mission to do, and God already seen it. And that I will be with you always and have no fear before anybody, because I am with you and I will deliver you. And this is already there. You know, God has already orchestrated everything. But we see that life begins. And I was saying last night how we're first spirit and we're having human experiences. And I was thinking about St. Anthony, where he has that quote, and he says that the soul gives life to the body, but it's the spirit who gives life to the soul. And when you really think about that, it's like, my spirit animates my body. I have an intellect, a will, and a memory. I say to my hand, raise up, and it raises up. And I've seen enough corpses. The soul's not there. It's dead, because the soul's not there. But it's my soul who gives life to my my body. But the important thing is, it's God who gives life to my soul, the indwelling presence. So my spirit gets into the zygote, they call it, where the egg and the sperm come together. And it's the spirit who animates the breaking of the cell to break down. But everything that's going to be there is there. Nothing's going to be added in that conception when the sperm meets the egg. The color of the eyes, how tall the person's going to be, all that, it's already present there. And Ken, I just wanted to share something with you I came across to really show this. It's called The Diary of an Unborn Child. You know, if the child could talk in the womb, perhaps this is what the child would say. October 5th, today my life began. My parents do not know it yet. I am as small as a seed of an apple, but it is I already. And I am to be a girl. I have blonde hair and blue eyes. Everything is settled, though, even the fact that I shall love flowers. October 19th. Some say that I am not a real person yet, that only my mother exists, but I am a real person. October 23rd. My mouth is just beginning to open now. Just think, in a year or so, I shall be laughing and later talking. October 25th, my heart began to beat today all by itself. For now on, it shall gently beat for the rest of my life without ever stopping to rest. And after many years, it will tire. It will stop, and then I shall die. November 2nd, I am growing a bit every day. My arms and legs are beginning to take shape. November 12th, tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. November 20th, it wasn't until today that the doctor told my mom that I'm living here under her heart. November 25th, I want to be called Kathy. I'm getting so big already. December 10th, my hair is growing. It's smooth and bright and shiny. December 13th, I am just about able to see. It is dark around me. December 24th, some children come into the world a little sick, but my heart is strong and healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. December 28th. Today, I was aborted. It's very powerful, you know, Ken?
Mm.
And I share that because I know there's so many people listening, you know, that might have had an abortion and all that, you know. And I'll read the letter at the end from John Paul II. And just being, you know, retreat director on Rachel Vineyard, and aborted mothers and fathers would come in, and they keep that guilt inside them and that shame. And sometimes they turn to drugs, alcohol, even suicide. I remember years ago hearing a confession of an abortion, and afterwards a woman confessed it. And after the confession, she gave me a hug, and she said, you know, Father, for years, I've asked God to forgive me and to, you know, that I could forgive myself. But I never felt that until now. Until now, I feel that mercy and forgiveness. And it's like you verbalize it, you know. Mm. The only problems we have are the ones we keep secret. And you let it out and you get confirmation. Because you look at this crazy world today, you know, mothers and fathers with abortions, all the pressures, Ken, that's behind it all. You know, everybody's saying, oh, it's not a child, and you'll be better off without the child. Planned Parenthood's right there to encourage it, everybody. And then later on, nobody's there to help you, and then you're suffering with the side effects. So that's where Rachel Vineyard really comes in and helps the mothers and fathers and even grandparents to go on and to see nothing's ever really wasted, that those little children are eternal. They're God's children, and they're in heaven. They took the shortcut. And praying for their mothers and fathers. And they know. They know the pressures and the tensions and the terrible situations that parents were in at the time. But it doesn't take away that guilt and shame, Ken. Only Jesus can take that away. And that happens best in the sacrament of reconciliation. But I wanted to share that diary of an unborn child. I think it's very powerful, you know. But I, again, my heart goes out to the aborted mother and fathers as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I've come across so many over the last 30 years, whether it's been part of the retreat experience or in the rooms, and You know, I've shared about it, and when usually once you know somebody mentions it, then others will kind of open up. And you know, as you said, there's I don't think there's anybody that ever sets out to go down that path. I had an opportunity a few years back to talk at my alma mater, Bishop McDevitt, before it closed, and you know, the kids kind of thought I were nuts, but the juniors and seniors, when I asked them, you know, if anybody, you know, was excited to get pregnant and have an abortion, or excited to get married and then get divorced, and they thought I was crazy. But you know, I'm yet to meet a single person who, you know, when they were growing up, that was one of their goals, and yet, you know, half our marriages end up in divorce, and now people just don't get married anymore. And then, you know, the number of children that, you know, can continue to be aborted. And, you know, sometimes I'm even wondering if the numbers we don't get the full numbers anymore because, you know, things like the abortion pill and what have you, so that, you know, they're not counting them, like they were when they're, you're counting the surgical procedures. But anyway, you know, it's something nobody dreams about or sets out to do. But then when the situation arises and, you know, an unplanned pregnancy, or it can even be a planned pregnancy on one person's part and not on the other person, and you know, next thing you know that abortion becomes not only an option, it becomes in their view a good option, and in some cases it's even the only option. And you know, the issue that I've had with the abortion industry for so long is, you know, if you're going to go in the hospital and you're going to have a surgery, even a routine surgery, you're going to have your appendix out or something like that, you know, they'll go through the litany of all the possible consequences of that surgery, and even mentioned to you that you can, you know, that could die perhaps. And when you go for an abortion, they don't tell you that, you know, there's a real good chance that you're going to end up an alcoholic or a drug addict, depressed, and what have you. They don't tell you about all those side effects and lasting effects. And you know, sooner or later, you know, even you can believe in the moment, and I think to a person, most of the people would tell you that at the time they thought that they were making the right decision, or perhaps the only decision. But sooner or later, that conscience catches up with you, and you have to, you know, somehow or other deal with what you have with what you've done. And if you don't have something like Rachel's Vineyard or somebody that can help you spiritually to maneuver through that, you know, so many people turn to alcohol and drugs, or they were already using alcohol and drugs to deal with other circumstances in their life. And then, you know, how many times are unwanted pregnancies have resulted as a result of somebody being, you know, drunk or high, or those things, alcohol, drugs, it just makes you looser. And, you know, how many times have we done things under the influence that we would never do if we were sober? I mentioned this to yesterday when we were talking a little bit about John and the pro-life movement is, you know, I think it's fantastic that Roe v. Wade was overturned and that they turned it back to the states and let each of the individual states. And I'm not so naive to believe that there were no abortions going on before 1973. And even if they outlawed it altogether, there's still going to be doctors out there that are willing to do it. They're not going to, you know, publicize it or what have you. But I think what we still need is for everybody, not just women, but, you know, how many women have abortions because the guys that got them pregnant didn't give them any choice. To let people know that there are other alternatives. There are things like adoption. You can be a single parent, that abortion is not the only option. and certainly not the only viable option. And I think when we get that message spread even more than it is today, we were at Calix last night, right? And Chris brings up the group at Jefferson now that'll anybody and everybody that's got is pregnant and is thinking about abortion, they offer alternatives at no cost. So it's making sure that people are aware that there are other options and other good options, and that abortion doesn't have to be the one and only option, despite what the guy may be telling you or what your parents might be telling you, other family members that think that this is going to ruin your life. It may ruin your life as you saw it at that point in time, but I guarantee it's going to ruin your life later, and in some form or another, until you get the spiritual help, the spiritual direction that you need. So just a few sentiments there.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking also the Sermon on the Mount we've been reading the last few weeks, and that one the other day. Don't condemn, you won't be condemned. Don't judge, you won't be judged. And it's like we condemn the sin and we judge the sin, but never the sinner. And even those who have sinned, it goes for yourself. Don't condemn yourself and don't judge yourself. God knows all the details that surrounded everything. But that Sermon on the Mount's powerful. But we know when life begins. We hear it here in Jeremiah that the Lord said, I formed you in the womb before I knew you. We know about John, the Baptist. He's in the womb. He's leaping for joy. We know through our dogma, the Immaculate Conception, that Mary, at the moment that she's conceived, she's full of grace. She's full of God. And that's December 8th. Her birthday we would celebrate on September the 8th, 9 months later. And especially, it with Jesus, the Annunciation. It should be called the Annunciation and the Incarnation, a dual feast, because the Word becomes flesh when Mary says, let it be done to me as you say. So even our faith tells us when life really begins, Ken, and that's so powerful, to realize that. But I was just thinking, how we're so confused in our culture today. I was a Dr. Melnick, and I never forgot this. He was doing an abortion, and it was botched because the baby came out of the womb. And for 90 minutes, the doctor watched this baby, along with the assistants around, this baby gasping for air, and nobody did anything. They let that baby die. Well, Dr. Melnick was found guilty and convicted and thrown into prison because of that. But here it is. Everybody was upset over that. But yet it's the same baby. If that baby died in the womb, nothing said. But because the baby came outside the womb, it's like, it's the government is saying that life begins outside the womb. And they do these partial abortions where you take the baby halfway out and inject the back of the head and suck the brain out because the baby's not all the way out. So it's not a born citizen. It's like, the government is saying when life begins. But even in our Constitution, we all have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the other politician that I really liked was Alan Keyes, Ken, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Whole moral platform was about abortion, and there was a debate as he's running for the presidency. And someone said, Alan, there's more issues than abortion. And Alan Keyes came back and said, if you're on a ship and there's a hole on the bottom of the ship, you better take care of that hole first before you take care of the electric and the plumbing, or that ship's going down. He said, abortion in our nation is the hole in the bottom of our country. And if we don't get this right, nothing's going to be right, Ken. There was one other comment I wanted to make. I know we're coming to the bottom of the hour, but I shared this last night. The intuition that I had, I was thinking before Pope Leo was elected the Holy Father, I thought, if I were the Holy Spirit, what country would I go to elect the Pope? Who would I call? And I thought of John Paul II when he was in Poland and he was elected Pope. It changed Poland. Poland became a beautiful Catholic country. And I thought that, if they'd taken an American and make him Pope, and that this country can be changed and we can turn this upside down, this abortion thing, and make it illegal all across the board, If we can do that, then we set the tone throughout the world, and it's going to go throughout the world. And then we're respecting one another. We're loving one another. You know, we're taking care of the innocent. We don't take care of the innocent. You know, we're going to go down. I mean, how can I vote for a politician that, you know, that would be for abortion? It's a preeminent issue. It really is. And the bishops of the United States told us that, the life, you know, we just got to get that right. So there you go. Rachel's Vineyard's out there for all those who suffer with abortions and so many. But the sacrament of reconciliation, just to hear Jesus say, I absolve you from all your sins in the name of, and the shame and the guilt in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. And that does bring us to the bottom of the hour. If God's touched you in a particular way and you want to share it with us, the numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father McKay. Before we go to the phones, just a quick update on the Calyx groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays we're in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We start with 6 o'clock adoration, followed by Mass at 6:15, and then our Calyx meeting after. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and instead of a Mass and meeting, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7. We usually have a couple or three priests on hand to hear confessions. We have some prayers that we offer for those that struggle with addiction. And then at 7 o'clock, we have benediction followed by Mass. So the third Tuesday in July will be July the 15th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, July the 3rd. The Glenside unit at St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by our Calyx meeting. The Glenside group will get together on July the 19th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month. That's this coming Saturday, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. Again, that's this coming Saturday, the 28th of June. And the unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of each month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then have a Calyx meeting. They'll be gathering on Saturday, July the 12th. So plenty of opportunities. If you ever have any questions about Calyx or anything else we talk about here, you can always reach out to me via email at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken at inhissign.com. And we are going to go to the phones, and our first caller is Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Hey, the rumors of your death were a lie, eh?
They're greatly exaggerated.
Yeah,
anyway.
Where you been?
I had to go to Venus for a few weeks. You know?
It wasn't warm enough here for you? You had to go to Venus?
It's funny. My brother-in-law lived in Washington Township, mm-hmm. and the development was named after all the planets.
Oh, okay.
And they looked at a house, and his wife refused to buy the house because it was on Uranus. But they did end up living on Mars.
There you go.
But anyway, get back to the top. You know, what you guys are talking about abortion, it's like, you know, the women and even the men, too, you know, they feel desperate because they don't know where to turn. And it's so funny because if your house catches on fire, there's no confusion. We know instantly. You know, you don't even have to call the fire department. It was just 911. Boom. You know, I only know one place that I contribute to every month. It's called the Good Counsel Homes. There's four in New York City and one in Riverside, New Jersey. And this is how amazing they are. If you call them at 11 o'clock on Thursday night, you know, they don't say, okay, come here first thing Monday morning. They say, come here right now. And if you can't get there, they'll go get you. They will take you if you are fully addicted. A lot of places you have to be clean and sober. They will take you, you know, fully addicted, and they will take care of that for you. They will take you with mental health issues, okay? They have a one-year program that continues. When you graduate from their program, you have a job, you have an apartment, and you have $3,000 in the bank. I don't have $3,000 in the bank. You know?
And
if people knew about this, you know, because Planned Parenthood loves to say, the Catholic Church cares about the unborn, but once you're born, they don't care about you. This place, you're always in their program. The mothers become daycare for the other mothers. You know, it's they're all in, and most of the people who graduate from the program aren't even Catholic. You know, but that's it. If people knew that was there, you know, but there must be this. Supposedly, there's 10,000 nonprofit organizations in America to help, you know, pregnant women. And if everybody just knew the number, like, you know, 911, you know,
right.
But they don't know all the places that are available, you know, and people don't know how great the Catholic Church is. That's an amazing program. That is an amazing program. And the man who started it, he was complaining to a bishop, I think, about, oh, this is terrible, about pregnant homeless women. Somebody should do something. And the person said to him, same thing the Pope said to Catherine Drexel. Why don't you do something about it?
There you go.
It took him 5 years to start the program, but it's been in place now for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean, right here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and the Sisters of Life and the work that they do in order to help unwed mothers or those that are in unexpected pregnancies to get the help that they need. So
yeah, because like, I mean, we
go ahead, Father.
You know, St. Paul always says, "I don't want to boast, but you can boast about the Catholic Church about those programs."
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
People have to know. I mean, I'm down in Florida now. I don't even know what the number for 911 is down here.
Okay. On that note, all Father.
Right. Well, you know, I'm so cheap. I won't call 911 until they get an 800 number.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Stantons, too, you know, at the Planned Parenthood when they go in for abortions, how they're right there, the people, you know, they send you to the right places and get the help. The help's out there. Uh-huh. It's always there. It's the pressure that's put on them. You know?
Yeah.
It's okay and, you know, and all this. There was something, I just went down to the chapel, Ken,
mm-hmm.
And the air conditioners are really working. It's nice and cool in there now. But I went down because we have that portrait of John Paul II, and underneath are these words, quote, "We will stand up and proclaim that no one has the authority to destroy human, unborn human life. We will stand up and proclaim that no one has the authority to destroy unborn human life." So the help is out there. You know, even Mother Teresa of Calcutta, give me your little one. We'll take care of them.
Right.
You know, but yep. It's right. Like, you know, it's just the culture of death that John Paul II calls it. You know, it's okay. And it's not okay, and all the hurt and pain that follows afterwards. But thank you for the call, Bob.
Yeah, when you coming north, brother?
I was supposed to be there on Memorial Day, but my calendar's running slow.
You know? All right, brother. Well, keep in touch, right. And hopefully we'll catch up soon.
I will.
All right, pal.
All right. God
thanks
bless.
For the call.
Take care.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the third co-host of Saints and Sinners, Frank.
I'm still waiting for my first paycheck.
Yeah, well, you'll get yours as soon as I get mine.
Uh-huh. You volunteer to volunteer. I volunteer to get paid.
What's up, brother?
Father Doug?
You.
It's been a long week. Because I said something wrong last week, but I first said it. I thought it was funny. It didn't dawn until the next day. It probably was inappropriate.
I know what it is.
And that's your past. I was just making jokes of ourselves, and it didn't dawn on me until the next day. Like, I mean, some people, that's their past. They don't want to be reminded of it. So I'll be wrong what I said. And if I hurt you or offended you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Well, let me tell you, Frank, are you talking about Michelob McKay?
Yes.
Listen, I got a good laugh out of it, Frank. Believe me. People were mentioning that to me. I got a good laugh out of it, so it didn't bother me one way or the other.
Did they really call you that?
No.
No.
I mean, no.
Not really.
You said last week, yes.
But
the
I did like,
hey,
Frank, I did like Michelob, though. So, you know, you were right on with that.
Now, we didn't, that was kind of the expensive stuff. We were at the cheaper stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I feel better now. Because all week long,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I can't wait next one.
That's the
repeat,
devil working
I got
on
like
you.
2 weeks.
But that was the devil working
because like
on
I said,
you.
Father, since I've known about you, and then I started calling, I know you. You're a great guy, not just for AA, the Catholic Society, your ministry with the young ladies and everything. You exude greatness. You're a wonderful person. And your buddy Ken, both of you together, are a great team. I'm lucky I met you, not met you, I heard about you a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've been fans ever since then. But
yeah.
I'm glad
thanks,
you took
Frank.
It easily. I mean, I'm glad it did not offend you, and I appreciate that.
Nah,
no, you
Doug.
Didn't. You yeah. didn't. No, not at all, Frank.
Okay. Have a great one. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, pal.
All
thanks
right. God bless.
Thanks, Father.
All right. Phone lines are wide open. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or 888-343-2484. Otter, it's funny. We don't get a whole lot of Otter Gods. I think everybody's just so used to having them happen day in and day out that they don't. We don't get the calls with the specific ones anymore.
Yeah,
I did have one though, and I don't know if our friends Lou and Nick are listening. Last Thursday, I took the day off. My good friend Paul wanted to take me fishing for my birthday, which was the week before, and we went down and got a charter boat out of Longport and went out for sea bass. And I think the boat was supposed to leave at 7. We got there a little bit early where, you know, so everybody that was supposed to be there except for one person was there by maybe 10 minutes to 7. And the last guy, he wasn't late. He was just the last one there. But, you know, he comes down the dock and I'm looking and it's like, is that what I think it is? And he had an AC Auto shirt on. And for those that hang out at the ministry, you know, we know that AC is for Anthony Campione. And Frank that just called always talks about Captain Lou Campione and a good friend of the ministry, Nick Campione. And so it turns out that the guy's quite a bit younger than I am. Got on the boat and was fishing with us. And turns out that he lives in Fishtown, not far from where the the auto shop is, and so he knows a couple of Nick's sons anyway. And so we had a nice chat, and we had took a picture together and sent it to Nick, and you know, had a pretty good laugh. So it's funny, you get these T-shirts sometimes, and you know put them on for this or that, but every once in a while, you know it's something where you spot somebody wearing one, and you realize you got some kind of connection.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, my other guy would be, you know, related to all this here that we're talking about, pro-life, Ken. You know the story. And, you know, when I was in my mother's womb, she was bleeding. And a relative told my mother to run up and down the stairs to bring on the miscarriage. And my mother, you know, she said, I would never do that. The doctor said that if I go to bed and stay in bed for weeks, that I can bring this child to full term. And the other guy was, you know, when it came time for me to be born, I was born in Mother Cabrini's hospital here down on Broad Street by St. Rita's, Columbus Hospital, the hospital that she founded. And they couldn't find the doctor that day. And my mother tells the story that they called in this elderly nun, and Sister Celicia, who's now Mother Celicia at the time. And she delivers me. I come out of the womb into consecrated hands and Italian hands. So I say I'm part Italian. And she says, she holds me and she says to my mother, I'm going to offer my Mass and Holy Communion up for your little boy. That was a pretty good beginning. And Mother Celicia was the Sister Celicia, one of the six sisters that came over on the ship with Mother Cabrini. But my mother went to bed praying the rosary, Ken, and praying the miraculous medal Novena. And that medal was always on my mother and father's neck. And that's why I'm so devoted to the miraculous medal throughout my whole life. But my honor God was, I was able to be born there, you know, at Columbus Hospital, and to consecrated hands and have the Mass offered for me and the Holy Communion. And I'm thinking maybe the mother said, make this little boy a priest someday, Father. You know. But anyway, that was the honor God for me.
Very good.
Yeah, Ken, in case we run out of time, I just wanted to get the letter in for John Paul, too.
Yeah, there's nobody else on the line, so we're good.
Yeah, very good. So let me read that, because I think mothers and fathers and so many who have been involved in, you know, abortions need to hear this from John Paul, too. And he really writes this, at the end of his papal encyclical on the Gospel of Life. So John Paul II writes these moving words. Quote, I would like to say a special word to women who had an abortion. The Church is aware of the many factors that have influenced your decision, and she does not doubt that in many cases it was painful and even shattering decision. The wound in your heart may not yet have healed. Certainly, what happened was and remains terribly wrong, but do not give in to discouragement and do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened and face it honestly. If you have not already done so, give yourselves over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of Mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. You will come to understand that nothing is definitively lost, and you will also be able to ask forgiveness from your child, who is now living in the Lord. With the friendly and expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. Through your commitment to life, whether by accepting the birth of other children or by welcoming and caring for those most in need of someone to be close to them, you will become promoters of a new way of looking at human life. John Paul II, Ken. A beautiful letter to mothers and fathers and abortive, even grandmothers, grandfathers who were part of it, you know, to receive that mercy and love of God and to realize that that nothing's really wasted, that those children are home with God praying for their parents. You know, we've been sinned against, Ken, in so many ways. And just think, original sin. We didn't ask for all these inclinations. And Jesus comes into the midst of all. And there's a way out of it, a way out of our sin and shame and guilt. And that beautiful invitation, you won't get a greater one. Come to me. All you who are weary, find life burdensome. I will refresh you. Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart, and your souls will find rest. Come to the Lord. Take him at his word. It's his mission to save us, to restore us as if we haven't sinned. He died a criminal death that we may be healed from all of our sins, and that shame and guilt would be washed away, and that death will be destroyed and eternal life bestowed upon us. When we see all these little ones home in heaven as one eternal family, God's mystical body, now and forever and ever in the house of our Father. Amen, Ken.
Yeah, no, amen. And, you know, and it is beautiful. And I remember it's in my lifetime, I think that at least when I was younger, it was Limbo, right? We hear about Limbo. And it was where, you know, some place where, you know, unbaptized babies went, and maybe that's where those that were aborted ended up. And then at some point, we did away with Limbo, and non-Catholics were, at least some that I knew, were kind of laughing at us. And it's like, you know, what was that place to begin with? Where'd you come up with that? And mm-hmm. everything else. But, you know, the idea that, you know, all these kids, and obviously it's millions of them over the years since 1973, are in heaven. And, you know, hopefully people that have that abortions in their past, you know, experience the forgiveness that they need, that they accept the mercy of God, especially at the hour of death, and then have an opportunity to meet those kids when they get to heaven. You've experienced it, you know, with the ministry that you've done. I've experienced in conversations that I've had with other people, and you know, there's an awful lot of people now that are looking forward to meeting those kids and knowing that they have little angels in heaven that are waiting for them.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember that in first grade, Ken, second grade, Limbo, and what it was at the time. Like the scriptures, unless you are born again of water and spirit, you cannot enter in the kingdom of God. So it was interpreted, if you're not baptized, how do you get to heaven? But then you hear the theologies, you know, that the baptisms are three kinds. There's the baptism of desire, there's the baptism of blood, and baptism of water. And that God, you know, and St. Paul says in his letter, all men, everybody will see salvation. You know, it's not Russian roulette with God. And that God would enlighten the child's mind, and the child would choose to come home to God. So, yeah, so that was the idea of Limbo. But when Sister talked about Limbo, it sounded pretty good. You can have everything you want, ice cream parlors, cars, everything. You can see the Blessed Mother, the saints, you can see, but you can't see God. I said, well, what's the point, you know, if I can't see God? Yeah. You know, and that was the only thing missing out of Limbo, the beatific vision. So these little ones are seeing God face to face and praying for us from their place in heaven. That Jesus won for them, baptism of blood. Amen.
Amen. Just wanted to note, too, Patrick put something up on the board here. We mentioned, Bob mentioned a place in New York in Riverside, New Jersey. We talked a little bit about the Sisters of Life. And Patrick wanted me to remind folks of the Legacy of Life. Started, I believe, up in Bucks County, but they're building a Catholic center for women on the opposite corner of Planned Parenthood there at 12th and Locust. I'm sure the Planned Parenthood folks are thrilled to see that going up. So many saves that the folks involved with Legacy of Life have had over the years, and mm-hmm. I'm sure more to follow once they get that building up and running.
Also wanted to comment on Ken, where I think it was said that, once the baby's born, that the church don't care about that child anymore. That's not so with our mission.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's respect life all the way through. And we work with the lost sheep, those who are addicted. You know, we care for every soul. So it's respect life, you know. But I see the least of his little ones. You know, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. And the least of the child in the womb, but also the addicts. And I always see the addicts as the least of the least. The neediest of the neediest, and the poorest of the poor. And whatever we do to them, we do to Jesus himself. So I think that's beautiful where the Lord is saying, each and every one of us, just one of us, an unborn child, just created, is worth more to God the Father than the whole universe. You know, what parent, you know, what father, you know, what, you'd do anything for your child. And do we really know who we are? We're God's children. He does everything for us. Look at the cross. This is his son. He bleeds, you know, he suffers, he dies so that we can live forever as God's eternal children.
You know, amen.
Amen. You know, we're so precious to God. All of us, every one of us.
That's right. That's right. All right, we got we only got about 3 minutes left. I don't know if you want to try and cover St. Thomas More in 3 minutes, or if you've got.
Go ahead. What do you got? I can say something.
All right,
do you
go
have
ahead.
Something for Thomas More?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking Thomas More. Gosh, you know, not to get in everything, but he wanted to be a monk. He was such a holy man. He would have his people praying, you know, at the house, and his family praying before meals, after meals. They would have the spiritual discussions. He was a daily communicant. You know, he was just such a deep, a prayerful person. And one of the things that stays with me, Ken, about his prayer life, it was Will Roper was his son-in-law, Meg's husband. And he wasn't a believer. And Meg would come to the father and said, Dad, would you talk to Roper about God? And Thomas More would go, and he would talk to Roper about God, but there was no real response. And Meg would come back, Dad, would you go and talk to Roper again about God? And he would go back again and talk to Roper about God. And Roper still wasn't responding. And Meg came the third time, Dad, would you go and talk to Roper again about God? And Thomas More said, I will no longer talk to Roper about God. I will now talk to God about Roper. And he brings Roper to prayer, and Roper has his conversion. But that prayerfulness, you know. And even when he was in the tower, he looked out with Meg, and he would see the Carthusians going to their execution, to the guillotine there, you know, up and get their heads chopped off. And they would look, and he would say, Meg, look at them. They look like they're going to their wedding feast. And that's how Thomas More went, and John Fisher went. John Fisher went out up with his cane, and he handed the cane to the executioner and said, I won't need this anymore. I mean, they're making jokes there. Thomas More forgave the executioner. I'm the king's good servant, but God's first. And that's the whole thing. You know, these martyrs, they have this strength. They have this encouragement. They have these virtues of the Holy Spirit. They're so, so close to God. Even more so, he thought he would be like, Peter that would be drowning. He said, that happens to me, Meg. Just put my hand up and say, Lord, save me. And the Lord did. And he'll save each and every one of us. Okay. Amen.
Amen. We do have a minute left. And, I hate to play a whole lot of music towards the end. But, talk about martyrs of late, the show, I think it was last Wednesday, the 13-year-old martyr from Mexico, San Jose Lito. And that was another honor, God, when I had saw who the guest was going to be in the 5 o'clock hour and preparing for the show, when it was a 13-year-old Mexican martyr back during the Cristeros days. And what caused me to think of Carlo Acutis was that the image that they have of him is him wearing a pair of jeans with a white T-shirt. And I got in touch with Mary B., our friend out at Malvern. Do you know about this kid? And I said, oh, absolutely. There's a picture of him in the back of the Adoration Chapel. And sure enough, when we were out there on Sunday, she was able to open up the Adoration Chapel for me so I could get in there and see it. But, the martyr's blood is the seed of faith, and can't shut it down. Get your blessing, Father.
Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, thank you for all your blessings, and just through your priesthood in persona Christi. Bless all of our listeners and our whole world with that peace and joy, especially the unborn child, and also all those who suffer so much with addictions. Set us all free, Lord, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of your Son, and bless us real good. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Perfect timing, Father. Thanks for being with us. For our guests, in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma and talk about the gift of the divine will. He's on the line already. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.